Let them know that you're serious.
Amen.
Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God. And God's Word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is the revelation of His will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it. In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Father God, help us to be doers of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to talk about A's for active aggression against the devil and demons. Praise God.
Amen.
I have 10 A's that if you take notes, I meant to go last night to go to the Dollar Tree and get y'all some notebooks and pens because y'all ain't taking notes. And I think that's the reason why many of you are being beaten down because you enjoy the messages, many of you, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah, but you forget them as soon as you walk out the door, some of y'all, don't you?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't gonna say amen on that one.
Amen.
See, and then you don't know how to put them in practice because you're not remembering. The devil is able to steal these things from you. And so one of the ways to help you memorize things is to present it in a systematic way. There's different ways and different methods of presenting the truth. And so hopefully today will help you when I give you some A's for active aggression against the devil and demons so that you can start walking in the victory that Jesus has died and resurrected and ascended on our behalf for. Praise God.
Mm.
All right. On that note, the first A is affliction. Say affliction.
Affliction.
Affliction is a state of pain, distress, or grief, misery, adversity. Praise God.
Amen.
So, as we understand how to be aggressive in our battle against Satan, we need to understand that we are going to face affliction, praise God. We are going to face adversity or adverse circumstances. Now, y'all know me. One of the areas of primary teaching for me is to deal with your understanding of God's character, praise God.
Amen.
And it's important that I do that in this day and age because so many people blame God. They don't intend to do it. They don't intend to do it derisively, I mean. But so many people blame God for the afflictions and problems that we encounter in life. And so when we believe that God is the one who brings these things to us, then we will begin to just submit to them instead of fighting against them. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're going to be aggressive in your campaign against the devil and his demons, the first thing you got to understand is that God is not the source of the afflictions and trials, temptations that you are facing in life. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Another thing you've got to understand is that affliction will come. Hallelujah. You will have trials and tribulations. You will have afflictions. See, but God is not the one bringing them to you. As not, on the contrary, the Bible tells us in Psalm 34, it says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Praise God. I said, praise God.
Amen.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That means you living righteously doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a trouble-free life. As a matter of fact, it guarantees you will have a life with some trouble in it. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen. So, matter of fact, Peter said, don't think it's a strange thing with the fiery trial that's come to try you. And see, that's what happens to many of y'all. Y'all get confronted with circumstances and difficult situations, and you get shocked. God, why didn't you protect me? God, why did you keep this from happening to me? No, baby. You are in a warfare, hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when I was in Korea, we used to have to go through these drills and these exercises in preparation for war. And they did not always announce when it was going to happen, praise God. You see, sometimes the enemy is going to attack unannounced. When I was in South Korea, North Korea wasn't going to announce, wasn't going to call up the president of South Korea and say, excuse me, buddy, we're going to attack you 3 weeks from now, so you might as well get ready. No, in warfare, it's the thing that helps one side to win is the element of surprise. So you have to be on your guard at all times. So when we had the exercises, when I'm sitting there sleeping soundly, just thinking I'm going to get up in my normal hours, and somebody's banging on my door saying, get up, drill, drill. I didn't get up and say, well, yes, I did, but I was supposed to. I didn't get up and say, wow, why did they of all days? You see, the enemy's going to attack you even on your worst day when it's not convenient for you, praise God.
Amen.
Now, I want you to see why affliction comes. Why does the enemy attack? And Mark chapter 4 tells us exactly why. In verse 16 it says, and these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. How many of y'all, when y'all hear a message of victory, you just get glad about it? Hallelujah. Last week we talked about the shout of faith, and many of y'all were shouting, praise God.
Amen.
And I was happy about it. But then some of you stopped shouting after a couple of days. You know why? Because you started getting attacked because of the word.
Amen.
And see, when you're supposed to shout the shout of faith during the times of affliction, not only when everything's okay, praise God.
Amen.
So people often come here and they receive the word with gladness. But then we lose them after a while because it don't seem to be working for them. The reason why, in verse 17, it says they have no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time. In other words, they will make their confession. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I'm strong in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. 3 days later, when the trial hasn't disappeared, their faith stuff don't work. Forget it, I ain't going to church no more. They have no root in themselves, praise God.
Amen.
Y'all need to get rooted.
Amen.
Get rooted and grounded in love.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So look at this. They have no root in themselves, so they endure but for a time. But afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for what?
It worsens.
Why does persecution and affliction arise?
For the word's sake.
Immediately, they are offended. That's Satan's goal. Satan's goal is for you to get offended. Satan's goal is for you to quit. Satan's goal is for you to drop out. You know, my wife and I, we were talking yesterday about communism. How many of y'all know what communism is?
Yes.
Just think of the governments of Russia, China, North Korea, Romania, Cuba. They are communism. What communism, their philosophy, or the philosophy they will tell you is that we don't believe there's a God, praise God.
Amen.
They tell you that communism is an atheist philosophy. And so over there in communist countries, if you are a Christian, you get persecuted. You get beaten, you get tortured. Well, I was showing her a book by a guy named Richard Wurmbrand called Marx and Satan. And he has documented proof that Karl Marx, Joseph Stalin, and many of the other founders of communism did actually believe there's a God, but they hated him. And they worshiped Satan. They were Satanists. And so they presented a philosophy to the masses to tell the masses that there is no God. But one day a communist newspaper revealed the truth. This statement was written by a communist to tell the reason why they persecute Christians. They said, our war is not against Christians or the ministers. Our war is against God. We are trying to take souls away from God. They revealed their selves. Praise God.
Amen.
So, affliction arises because Satan hates God, and by nature, because you are a child of God, Satan hates you.
Yes.
Amen. And so, as you begin to hear the word of God, as you begin to hear the message of faith and victory in Christ Jesus, Satan is going to try you. Amen?
Amen.
See, one thing you need to learn is that when you learn this word, coming to churches like this where you get taught the word of God is dangerous. See, because then you can't sit around and say, well, God is in control. The ways of the Lord are mysterious, his wonders to perform. And you can't sit there and excuse yourself and get beat up anymore. Praise God.
Amen.
You now, when you come here, you learn that you can fight.
Amen.
You learn that you can win. But you learn that it also takes some standing and some work. And see, Satan, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to say, let me see if he really believes that. Mm-hmm. And you know what? 98% of the time, he's successful. I'm not talking about just this church alone. I'm talking about all churches that's teaching the word of God. It seems like he's very successful in getting Christians to back down. Even if Christians stay in the church, they just stay there for status. They don't stay there to really learn anything. And so you need to learn to stand against the wiles of the devil, glory to God. And this is what we're here to teach you. But see, so say affliction.
Affliction.
Praise God. Now I want to show you something here. In Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. It tells us, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to understand that God is on your side. God is on your side. Say, God is on my side.
God is on my side.
See, if God is the one sending you the affliction, he ain't on your side now, is he? If I'm persecuting you and afflicting you every day, then how can you say, well, Pastor Troy loves me? Because he just beat me down every day. He's giving me cancer. He's sending me. He's piling up my bills. He even gave me a dose of AIDS. Oh, he must love me. Some people got warped understanding of what it means for God to love them. But God is on your side, praise God.
Amen.
The person who's against you is the one that's trying to destroy you. Now, when you jump down to verse 35, because we don't want to, we got 10 A's to go through, and I'm going to give them all to you. Well, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to give them all to you today. We got 10 of them to go through. So when you get down to verse 35, it tells you, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? You see, God doesn't send you to tribulation, praise God.
Amen.
Because the tribulation is meant to throw you off the word, and it is meant to separate you from Christ, praise God.
Amen.
God loves you. He doesn't want any of these things to separate you from the love of Christ, hallelujah.
Amen.
So you've got to learn to stand on the resources he has given you. You see, you have a freedom of the will to determine whether or not you will stand or whether or not you will stand there and get beaten. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's look at another passage of scripture. Many of these are familiar because you've heard me preach on these more than once. 1 Peter chapter 5. This happened to be one of my favorites. Praise God. Begin at verse 7. It says, casting all your care, say all your care.
All your care.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How many of y'all know that God cares about you?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that God loves you?
Amen.
Oh, that's why he wants you to cast your care on him. I remember a story I heard about a woman one time. She was so burdened down with so many burdens. She loved the Lord. She knew Jesus, but she didn't know how to deal with it. She didn't know the scripture. So she's just weighed down with burdens. So one day she goes to sleep and she has a dream and she's walking down the street and Jesus meets her. And so she says, Jesus, she said, can you please take at least part of this burden from me? And Jesus looked at her and said, listen, honey, He said, you either give me the whole burden or I take none of it. Isn't that cool? He said, give me the whole thing. Don't just give me a little bit. See, some of y'all say, well, God is too busy worrying about the universe. No. God counts the numbers of hair on your head.
Amen.
Do you know that he is that concerned about you? He's concerned about the smallest details of your life. You need to give the whole roll to him. Glory to God.
Amen.
So he says to cast all your burden upon him because he cares for you. Say, God cares for me. Say that Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me.
Oh, glory to God. We already seen that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Amen. And we see that God cares about you. Now, in opposition or in contrast, Satan hates your guts. When you go down to verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, say adversary.
Adversary.
Who's your adversary?
Satan.
That's right. Y'all got it. Open book test. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As I told you a couple of weeks ago, the reason why he's got the sick is because he can't devour just everybody. Praise God.
Amen.
But he's looking to devour you. You giving him that open door, he will do it. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
That's a hungry lion. But he's toothless. Now, it goes on to say, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, say afflictions, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See, Satan is the source of your afflictions, not God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says it right there in plain English. Satan is the source of your afflictions. We all suffering. There's no temptation but that which is common to man. Praise God.
Amen.
Everybody goes through something. So, but we got to remember the source of the affliction. Real quickly I didn't have this in my plan to teach y'all, but I need to show this to you because so many people got the wrong understanding of God. Well, first, let me ask you a question. Maybe some of y'all who was with me a couple of years ago might remember when I did this before. How many of y'all believe that God never puts on you any more than you can bear?
Amen.
How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all believe that's in the Bible?
Yeah.
All right, tell me where that's at. Show me the passage. I'm going to give you a few minutes. Show me where that passage is at. That God will never put on you any more than you can bear.
So he can put something on you?
Oh,
that's
why I think. Don't, man, you was here. Don't be telling what I'm doing. Don't reveal my secret. Anybody found that passage yet?
No.
You ain't gonna find it. You know why? It's not in the Bible. There's no scripture that says that God will put on you any more than you can bear. Because God doesn't put these things on you. Praise God.
Yeah.
Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the scripture that everybody twists or misuse and abuse to say that God will put on you any more than you can bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See, you're learning something today, ain't you? Or you will in a moment. You're going to find out here at Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship, we don't stick with tradition. We stick with the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If tradition is in contradiction to the Word of God, guess what I'm going with?
The Word.
The Word. Praise God. I don't care how mad people get at me and people get mad at me. I'm telling you, I will show them the scriptures and they still get mad. He said, well, I still believe this way. I remember the time I was arguing with somebody about the sovereignty of God. And he was telling me God is the one who sends hurricanes and car accidents and blah, blah, blah. And so I showed him some scripture to show him he was wrong. You know what he tells me? Do you know that you are trying to use scripture to confront the sovereignty of God? You are wrong. Yeah! So scripture, so people's ideas about certain things override and have more authority than what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Do y'all have it yet?
Yes.
I want everybody to get this one. Look at now. Let me read this to you. I wish I had put it up on the board. I didn't even know until just now I was going to read this. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now listen to this. Who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear. Praise God. Nowhere in this passage does it say that God is the one who puts the temptation on you. In James chapter 1 verse 13 it says, when any man is tempted, do not let him say, I am tempted of God. Amen?
Amen.
God is not the one who puts the temptation on you or the trial on you or the test on you. God is the one who gives you the way of escape.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, y'all should be shouting on that one.
Amen.
Amen. God is not the one who gives you the problem. God is the one who gives you the escape from the problem. Glory to God.
Amen.
He's not the problem giver. He is the problem rescuer from her.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In my bad English.
Amen.
But y'all get the point. God is the one who rescues you from the problem. He makes a way of escape from the trials, the temptations, and the situations you are dealing with. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm so glad that God is not my problem, but he's my answer. Woo! So I'm telling you, my arms are too short to box with God. Amen. I can't beat God. But since God is beating the devil, I'm on the winning side now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, adversity comes from the adversary. Say this with me. Say adversity.
Adversity.
Comes from the adversary.
The adversary.
Adversity by nature means that there is an adversary you are dealing with. So, Satan is your adversary. God is for you. It is Satan that is against you. Praise God.
Amen.
Say, God is for me.
God is for me.
Satan is against me. But he's a loser.
He's a loser.
Glory to God. You need to keep that definitely in mind. Praise God.
Amen.
So, adversary, adversity comes from the adversary. But God is your winner. He has won the battle for you. We're going to see that in another aid in a little bit. All right. Actually, that was number two, was adversary, praise God. The second A was adversary, so if you're taking notes, adversary is number two. That's your second A. So adversity by nature comes from an adversary. All right. Three, advantage. Satan's desire is to get an advantage of you. So the third A is advantage. Say advantage.
Advantage.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 10, it says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Verse 11 goes on to say, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Oh, I wish that was true of all Christians. Too many Christians, I'm finding out, are ignorant of Satan's devices. When you open the door for Satan, he has an advantage over you. Praise God.
Amen.
Unforgiveness, any other kind of sin, gives Satan an advantage in your life. Whatever that sin is. Some people want to categorize sin. Well, adultery is a sin. Yes, it is. But so is not paying your tithes. Praise God. Well, fornication and sleeping around is a sin. It sure is. But not forgiving your neighbor for what they did to you is a sin too. Praise God.
Amen.
Not sure. Me and my wife, we were talking. You know, me and my wife are always talking, I guess, because we live together. But we were talking the other day, and I was sharing with her how sometimes we in the church, we rightly should deal with sin in people's lives. Amen. But you know, in the last days, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And one of the things he's going to tell them, he's not going to talk to them about the fact that you committed adultery, you murdered somebody. He's going to say, when I was sick, you didn't visit me.
you didn't give to me. When I was in prison, you did not visit me. And then he's going to tell them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And he's going to send them to the lake of fire. Do you know that lack of love is just as big of a sin to Jesus? So when you sit there judging people because they at the club doing their thing, and you ain't helping nobody, do you know that you have displeased God just as much as the person at the club shaking their bootang? Yes, you did. I know that's hard, but it's true. So when we start having programs at this church, again, where we deal with the homeless and where we deal with the poor, I like to see your happy face here, praise God. I like for you to start getting out of focus of yourself and start focusing on Jesus and start focusing on others, because that is one way to keep Satan from getting an advantage of you. Because Satan is the original hater, and he wants you to stop walking in love and start doing your own thing, and at the same time claiming, I'm a Christian. Christians show themselves to be disciples of Jesus by their love, praise God.
Yes.
So we need to learn to love, get out of our own, our self-focus and all that. I didn't even mean to get on any of this, but God has some word for y'all. But you don't want Satan to have an advantage, praise God.
Amen.
Now, the fourth A is ascension. Say ascension.
Ascension.
Ascension means risen, up, going up. That's what Jesus did. See, a lot of churches are focused on Jesus being at the cross, praise God. And thank God for the cross. Oh, we need the cross. But God, Jesus went beyond the cross. Look at this. Y'all see this little poster I put up here? The theory of revolution. See, Jesus was in the manger. He became a baby. He carried a cross. He went on the cross. But he didn't stay there, praise God.
Amen.
If he had stayed on that cross and stayed in the grave, he would have been no better than Mr. Buddha. He'd have been no better than Muhammad. He'd have been no better than Hare Krishna. You might as well just choose your choice of religions then. See, Jesus and Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship, praise God.
Amen.
See, because I'm not worshiping a dead God. Religion, all I'm doing is following a bunch of concepts. Do this, do that. With Christianity, I'm following a person, praise God.
Amen.
I'm following a person who's still alive. I'm following a person who's risen from the grave and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, if Jesus has stayed dead, then that means Satan had defeated him and Satan had won. Praise God.
Amen.
But the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, I got an Easter message for y'all. I don't know what it is yet, but I know I got one. Easter's from 2 weeks from now. I know the Lord will give me something. But Jesus rose from the dead. But he didn't stop there. He ascended at the right hand of God. And that means he placed himself on the throne in the seat of victory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So y'all think that Jesus said, okay, I did my part. I'm gone. Goodbye. Y'all on your own now. No, Jesus had to go there in order for you and I to be able to continue to walk in victory. Glory to God. Right. And not only that, but the Holy Ghost, he said that if I don't go up, then the Holy Ghost won't be able to come down.
Amen.
Oh, now the Holy Ghost is here and he's with each and every one of us. But let's look at the victorious position that God has put us in. Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning verse 19, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. See, Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. He has shown himself to be victorious over Satan and demons. Glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, it goes on. It says, far above. Say far above.
Far above.
This is why ascension is important. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named,
not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And look at this. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In the book of Joshua, when they defeated these five kings, in order to show the symbolic victory over these kings, Joshua put his foot on each head, showing that he defeated that king, praise God.
Amen.
So when Jesus ascended on high and placed all things under his feet, he was above all principality and power, the devil and his dominion. And he placed his foot on their head, praise God.
Amen.
Oh, but look at this. Look at this truth. But he gave all things to his body. How many of y'all know that Jesus is the head, but we are the body?
Amen.
So if all things are under the feet of Jesus, and we are the body of Christ, guess what? All things are under your feet and my feet. Praise God.
Amen.
So ascension, because Jesus ascended on high, all things are under our feet.
Hallelujah.
Oh, but you know, I don't think you get that yet. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to the next chapter. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 is talking about the devil and how you and I were walking with him. How whenever the devil told us what to do, we did it with him. Praise God. We were following Satan. But let's jump down to verse 6. You can read the rest of it at home. In verse 6 it says, and hath raised us up together. Listen to this, y'all. See, y'all think that Jesus, he went to heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and now we just wait for him to come back. No, symbolically speaking, positionally speaking, Jesus raised you and I up together with him and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
So you and I are ascended with Christ. If you've been water baptized, then you will understand that the reason why we baptize you is so that you can be completely identified with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
See, we put you, when Jesus died, he was buried. So we put you under the water. And then we bring you up to symbolize that you are identified with him in his resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why when I water baptize people, I don't hold them down forever. So don't be scared for those of you who getting baptized, all right? I don't hold you down to preach a sermon. Ah, the Lord has blessed this young person to be. Brown, right? No. We don't want you to die, so we raise you up quickly with Christ. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so you are completely identified with Christ. You are identified in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Amen. My wife probably going to have to correct me on this story, but I remember, I think my mother-in-law, when she was getting water baptized, I think she saw some kind of snake or something come out of her. That when she was getting water baptized, she got delivered. Praise God.
Amen.
Because she identified fully with Christ, showing that she had overcome the devil and his dominion over her. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know another young man who told me that when he got water baptized, he had a vision while he was under the water, seeing his dead self going down, deep, deep down in the water and disappeared. Praise God.
Amen.
And he came up a new person.
Amen.
See, water baptism is more than just a tradition. It's got power to it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So those of you who have not been water baptized yet, you need to see me soon so we can get this thing scheduled. But you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says that you are priests and kings unto God. Let me show you another translation of this real quickly. The Weymouth translation says you have been raised with him from the dead and enthroned us with him. Say enthroned.
Enthroned.
Oh, he has enthroned you with him in heavenly places as being in Christ Jesus. That means you are bad. So you need to remember that. Ascension. Jesus has been ascended on your behalf. Praise God.
Amen.
He didn't do it for himself. He was already in heaven. He was already ruling. The reason why he came down was for you. He became a man. God, the Philippians says that he just did away with all his privileges, all his attributes, everything that he had, and became not just a man just like you and me in order to redeem you. And then he ascended, and all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Praise God.
Amen.
And he did it all for you. So he ascended on your behalf. So it's important that you remember ascension. Say ascension.
Ascension.
So we went through four A's so far. What was the first A? Anybody remember?
Ascension.
Affliction. Praise God. I'm looking at my notes. I'm a cheat. What's the second way?
Adversity.
Actually, it was adversary. Affliction and adversity are the same thing. So what was the second one? I just gave y'all the second one. What was the second one? All right. Affliction, adversary. What was the third one?
Advantage.
Ooh, y'all good. And the fourth one?
Ascension.
Y'all just cheating off of Mary. Okay. You cheating off your notes? Good. That's open book test. Amen. Radimus got he learning.
Actually said Nancy.
Oh, Nancy. You cheating off of Nancy? Oh. Nancy, hide them notes. Nobody gets to cheat in this class. All right. Unless you're the pastor. All right. Anyway, go. We're gonna go to the fifth A, and we're gonna get ready to close out. The fifth A is annihilated. Say annihilated.
Annihilated.
Oh yes. Jesus' victory over the devil has annihilated him. Now that word annihilate does not mean that blown out of existence. Amen. See, the Jehovah Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and well, I wouldn't consider Seventh-day Adventists a cult, but Jehovah Witnesses definitely are. The Way International, some of these cults believe in what they call the doctrine of annihilation, where people don't suffer in hell forever and ever. They go to that when you die, you soul sleep, you wake up on judgment day, God judges you, and then you get blown out of existence. I wish it was that way. I'm serious. If that was true, I'd be a lot happier. But the fact is, people are going to burn forever and ever, that still disturbs me. Praise God. I know it's true, but it disturbs me. And I know God has a good reason for it, and He's explained it to me. But the thing is that you don't get blown out of existence. Even if you blow up a building, the building doesn't get blown out of existence, praise Jesus.
Amen.
Even you blow it up, there's still the residue and everything still is going to still be around. So even you as a human being, you don't get annihilated as in blown out of existence. Satan was annihilated, but he was annihilated in the sense that he was defeated. His works against you have been made ineffective. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So to annihilate is synonymous with destroy. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Say annihilated. That's your fifth A. Satan was annihilated. Some of y'all know, y'all understand that word when you watching sports. I'm not a big sports fan, but except I used to watch boxing. I used to love boxing. I was deep into boxing until a couple of years ago when it just started bothering my spirit. I couldn't watch it no more. As a Christian, I just can't see people beating each other up like that. Amen. I'm not telling you that was just my conscience. Amen.
Amen.
But don't invite me to come into your house and watch boxing. Because in one sense, it is a temptation to me because I still want to see people going at it. But I know that in my heart, I can't watch it no more. Praise God.
Amen.
It's just like the other day, I was watching a TV program, you know, because I was big in comic books when I was young and older. I was watching one of the TV programs of one of the superheroes with all the special effects, and I thought it was the way they made the special effects was great. But they had to sneak stuff in there. They had to sneak some things in about homosexuality, about people living together unmarried, and things of that nature. When I saw that, I said, I can't even watch this no more. Something that should have been an innocent program for young people and older people who enjoy that type of entertainment. Hollywood has to preach their message no matter what. Praise God.
So you got to be careful what you watch, because you got those messages are getting into your mind and into your spirit. And that's why so many people accept things that are wrong today. I don't know if I mentioned this, but a couple of weeks ago they did a survey. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Pat Robertson, one day, somebody wrote him a letter. Her son was gay, and her son was getting married to another guy. And so she was asking Pat, as a Christian, should she attend the wedding? And Pat said, no, of course not. You do not attend that wedding. And so a lot of people, now the world, I can understand when the world responds in an angry manner. But a lot of Christians, people call themselves Christians, were responding to Pat with anger. Said, well, I may not agree with homosexuality, but if that's my child, I got to show him I love him. I said, and of course, you know, Pastor, he can't keep his mouth shut, so he got to chime in. I said, how many of y'all would go to a Satanist ritual because when your child is being ordained as a high priest in Satan's church? How many of y'all would escort your daughter to an abortion clinic because you love them? But see, that's what happens. So many people have been following Hollywood's philosophy of love that they don't understand that when it comes to family, Jesus is first. Praise God. Jesus said, unless a man hates his mom, dad, and he didn't mean hate as in I hate you, unless you hate your wife. In other words, he's saying, unless you put me before you put any of them, you don't love me. Praise God. You have no part with me. I'm going to tell you something. Ladies, listen to me. You find a man, if you don't love Jesus more than he loves you, get rid of him. I'm serious. Because sooner or later, the love is going to be gone. So he's got the... You know what keeps me and this woman married for over 30 years? Our mutual love for Jesus first, praise God.
Amen.
Because if we didn't love Jesus, we'd have been divorced a long time ago. You hear me?
Amen.
It's true. I got on her last nerve.
Yeah, Betty
nerve. She got on my last nerve.
Yeah.
We look for ways to get on each other's nerves. It was our love for Jesus that kept us together. So, ladies, y'all need to find men that love Jesus more than he loves anything else.
Amen.
If you don't love Jesus, you don't want him. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, that was your marriage counseling for the day. All right. But I want you to see that the reason why Jesus came was that he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Praise God. Jesus annihilated him. Just like if y'all in sports and you watching basketball. See, y'all thought I forgot my point. If y'all watching basketball and your basketball team wins and beats the other team by so many points, you will say, hey, they annihilated them. Praise God. So that's what happened with Jesus. He destroyed the devil. He made his works ineffective on your behalf. Satan is a defeated enemy. Say, Satan is a defeated enemy. That's why I told you earlier when we looked at 1 Peter chapter 5, I said that he's a lion, but he's toothless. Jesus pulled out that boy's teeth. So all he can do is gum you.
Amen.
You can determine whether or not he swallows you. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, if he swallows you, that's because you're not standing on the victory that's been made available to you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But next week, we'll go through the next 5 A's and we'll show you how you stand on that victory that belongs to you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
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 Did you learn anything?
Amen.
All right, praise God. So you got your first 5 A's. You need to get an A in this class. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ha ha ha, yes, I know. That was a bad joke, but I'm the pastor. I can make bad jokes. All right, stand to your feet. You, on the other hand, are not authorized. All right. I love y'all. You're my family. I bless you. Oh, glory to God. All right, bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's go before God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to learn something today of you and of the victory you've given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that Satan, our adversary, has been annihilated. He has been defeated. Even though he's the one who brings us the affliction, we thank you, Father, that in all affliction, we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Oh, Father God, help us throughout this week to walk in that victory. In the name of Jesus. Remain, keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Is there anybody in here today